Japan's quake and tsunami couldn't come at a worse time for the world's third largest economy. Japan was the hardest hit of the G7 advanced economies in the global financial crisis and was only now really starting to get back on its feet. Our business editor Cheryl Bagwell joins us. Cheryl, does this have the potential to derail the Japanese and, for that matter, the global economic recovery?
Look, obviously it's very early days, Fran, but history suggests it won't derail the recovery. Japan is still a very rich country. There's no reason to believe it won't eventually bounce back from this, as it did after the devastating Kobe earthquake in 1995, which killed 6,500 people. Now, analysts seem confident of that for two reasons. One is that the reconstruction boom, which follows a devastating earthquake or flood in a developed economy at least, tends to offset the immediate negative effect, the negative hit to economic activity. The second reason is that the areas worst hit by the earthquake and the tsunami in Japan are relatively rural. They account for a small portion of the country's GDP. Now, this wasn't the case with the Kobe quake, which hit a major port and industrial hub. But, you know, Japan is a very different place to what it was in 1995. At the start of that decade, it was challenging the US as the world's largest economy. Now it's number three, was eclipsed last year by China. Japan went into decline, you remember, in the 1990s when the property bubble burst, and then it was pushed into a year-long recession in 2009 by the GFC, and it's only now emerging from that. Initial estimates have put, and these are very early estimates, have put the damages bill in Japan at about $100 billion. The Japanese government is going to have to bear most of that cost, and its finances are in a terrible state. Government debt is now close to 200% of gross domestic product. Our public debt, by comparison, is 20%. That means the Japanese government's ability to borrow that money for reconstruction without worrying investors was going to be limited. The Bank of Japan is also expected to take extraordinary measures to support the economy today when it meets for a scheduled meeting. But unlike the New Zealand Central Bank last week, the Bank of Japan can't slash interest rates to stimulate the economy because they're already at zero. So a lot of issues ahead. But look, there's no doubt Japan will get through this.
What about the nuclear power industry? Will that get through it? The explosion at the Fukushima nuclear power plant has raised real fears of an atomic meltdown, as Damon Moglen was just telling us.
Yes, we heard from your previous guest. Look, this is definitely going to spark a renewed global debate about whether the benefits of nuclear-generated power are worth the risks. Nuclear power has been experiencing a renaissance in recent years, particularly as economies grapple with climate change. Nuclear power generation emits virtually no carbon dioxide. Now, according to the World Nuclear Association website, there are 442 reactors worldwide. They supply about 15% of the globe's electricity, and there are plans to build an additional 158 reactors, and most of them are in Asia, actually. China, in particular, wants to source more of its energy from nuclear power. It currently has 13 reactors, but it's building or has plans for a further 77, according to the association. And remember, Japan gets about 30% of its electricity from nuclear power. Only the US and France generate more electricity from nuclear power than Japan. Of course, Australia has no nuclear power facilities, although many people have tried to change that. Remember, former PM John Howard was a strong supporter. At one point, he appointed a task force to look into the viability of nuclear power for Australia. The head of that task force was who we'll have on a little later. But look, I think the whole future of the nuclear power industry is going to depend on whether the Japanese can avert what looks like a major emergency at Fukushima.
Cheryl, people arguing for the US Federal Reserve to pull back from stimulating the US economy, those calls likely to fall on deaf ears this week?
Look, absolutely. I mean, given what's happening in the world right now, there's little chance the Fed will use its scheduled meeting tomorrow to talk about any exit plan it might have from its very loose monetary policy
settings. Simply because of Japan and uncertainty?
Not everything that's going on at the moment. You know, in the Middle East, in Europe, more European debt woes have surfaced, etc. I mean, even though the inflation hawks in the US are pressing the Fed to pull back, the Fed, remember, is pursuing an unprecedented expansion of monetary policy to boost the US economy. It's kept official interest rates at zero since the GFC. The Fed is also halfway through its $600 billion $2 billion asset purchase program, quantitative easing as it's called. It was dubbed QE2 because it followed an earlier round of $1.7 trillion in bond buys that ended in 2010. QE2 has sparked a big political backlash in the States against the Fed, Republicans mainly believing the stimulus risks a surge in inflation. Inflation's okay over there at the moment, but which means the Fed will be content to sit pat for a while at least and continue to roll out QE2 at least until it runs out in June.
Well, the Fed might be content to sit back. What about the markets? What do you think? How do you think the global equity markets will react to the events in Japan when they open today?
Well, you know, aside from Asia, the rest of the world largely seemed to take the disaster in their stride on Friday afternoon after the quake hit. The Dow in New York ended 59 points higher, and that was on hopes that US companies would benefit from the eventual Japanese reconstruction. The FTSE in London also just ended 16 points lower. The Australian share market was closed by the time the earthquake hit on Friday, but futures trading suggests it's going to take its lead from Wall Street and open 8 points higher this morning. But I would treat that prediction with a degree of caution. Wall Street closed before the problems at the two nuclear reactors in Japan emerged. Globally, the stocks that are likely to come under pressure will be insurance, of course, commodities, particularly uranium stocks. But locally, investors may want to look beyond the short-term backlash to what's considered to be the likely boost to coal and iron ore and grain exports once the Japanese reconstruction begins. In the meantime, though, the heaviest losses in trading are going to be in Asia. The Japanese share market lost 1.7% of its value on Friday afternoon, just after the earthquake hit. Japanese futures, though, continue to slide in after-hours trading. At one point, they lost 5%, which means heavy losses are expected when the Japanese market, the physical market, opens today. Strangely, the Japanese yen, after falling after the earthquake struck, has since surged higher in the belief that domestic investors abroad will bring the currency back home. Japanese insurance companies are expected to bring the yen back home, and that saw the yen rise. Oil fell, though, and gold rose. The Australian dollar also fell below parity on Friday night, but it's since recovered to 101.5 US cents, Fran.
Thanks very much, Cheryl. Cheryl Bagwell, our business editor.